In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Olin, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, right. You know, I feel better this morning. It was very disappointing. Just all of the we were talking it through. Apparently, the odds were fairly astronomical since the turn of the century. So that's 24, 25 years ago. The NFL teams are 1,882-0. That you win whenever you're leading by that margin with 30 seconds left. And lo and behold, they come back. They score 11 points. They force the overtime. They win the coin flip. And you're just sitting there like, this could happen. And unfortunately, you take a bad sack in the overtime and then you can't stop them at all. It doesn't matter, as we discussed on the post game, about the situation they're in, the yards to go, etc. They overcome all of that and they march down the field for a field goal, and the Bears lose, and they lose for the fifth time. Did it look brighter when you watched it again this morning?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I thought about watching Caleb Williams and then watching the Bears lose, and like we're talking about the defense and watching some more of, like, for example, do they know they're going for it on 4th and 4, watching the block field goal, watching, you know, them challenge Addison's catch right on the sideline when Jonathan Owens decides to just shoulder tackle him. He looks like he's in bounds, but Coach Eberflus challenges the play anyway. And you're watching those things, but you don't want to miss Caleb Williams' development, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, since 2015, I actually text Mitch this morning, last night. I've been an analyst since 2015. I've analyzed 62 wins and 96 losses, guys. So a lot of losing going on. And you don't want to let that get in the way of what you're watching maybe with this young quarterback, because a lot of us, all of us around here, are really sick of losing, right? And you get disgusted after you watch a game. So I'm trying to separate that from just watching the young quarterback make plays that maybe we've never seen around here on third downs, and watching him, the center call Coleman Shelton, who I think has played a little better, watch him call fire, alert the quarterback that it's a blitz, right? Fire, fire, fire. People use a lot of words like blood. Centers will yell blood, 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 blood in the water, right? Like there's a blitz coming. Watch the young quarterback alert the receivers and then hit and throw an absolute, I think the commentator called it a laser, which it was, to Keenan Allen on 3rd and 12. So when you're watching these games, I have to watch out not getting just like, I'm so tired of this football team losing that you miss what the young quarterback is doing, developing. And they don't get a lot of points again until late in the game when Flores basically changes his game plan, backs everybody up and gives you kind of only a three-man rush, 8 guys in coverage. And then we start getting more and more points and the block field goal and all these things that happen again to this football team. And then you wonder why do I feel kind of good about what I saw? And of course, it's because you're watching a young quarterback. And it was a month ago, guys, I have it down here. I called it the special, right? We talked about it on this show a month ago on Monday after the Washington game. Like, look, man, this guy is doing stuff at the end of the half that's amazing. Right. We talked about every game you go through it since the Titans game and say at the end of half, he is leading drives. Right. He is doing that. We talked about that a month ago and he does it again.
And so you watch that, Olin, and I think you start to wonder and look for reasons why to help explain the growth he's shown specifically in the last couple of weeks. But I think overall he has been steadily improving against the blitz. And yesterday, the game was billed as the king of the zero blitz against Caleb Williams, and how would he handle that? And I think that might have been overstated, but when you saw the way that he handled the blitz, you were encouraged by some of that growth. Why do you think is it, and how collective is that in terms of giving credit for that growth? Because you see the way that he's handled the pressure, you see his completion percentage against the blitz and the production. What's happening? What is he doing? What is the offense doing that allows him to handle the blitz effectively?
Yeah, he's starting to recognize him more, right? And I think getting Braxton Jones and obviously Darnell right back, getting a little more settled on that offensive line, having Tevin Jenkins start and finish the game, right? Having Coleman Shelton and Caleb Williams' relationship grow, and then Thomas Brown. Whatever language Thomas Brown speaks, it seems like Caleb understands it. It seems like he knows exactly what Thomas Brown wants. Now, they did have a hiccup in overtime, right? Where they had to delay a game penalty, get the play in, right? Get the play in, fourth and four, where we miss Keenan Allen again, the play gets in late, whoever you want to blame for that. Do they know they're going for it? Do they know they're not going for it? But this young quarterback does look a little more comfortable. I will say this. It was kind of the same thing even with Shane Waldron. They're very comfortable at home with their protection schemes, right? So now this is the first time we'll see Thomas Brown at offense coordinator on the road versus the Detroit Lions. Very, very good football team. Obviously, everybody knows that. But Caleb Williams, and you cannot argue, since Thomas Brown has come in, does not look more comfortable. Looks like he's getting the plays out there, like you're saying, David, organizing protections. And maybe some of that is the growth that he had through them letting him do it, right? A lot of us want to rush it, right? Like, why are you making him do too much? Even me, I was saying that. Like, take away some of his responsibilities. But sometimes you go through these periods in your career where you struggle. You struggle with things, but the coach keeps asking you to do it, and you get more and more comfortable doing it. And then, you know, 3-4 games later, you come out of it and you start to play a little bit better. But Caleb, you know, even Green Bay, right? Last week, he checked the protection right before the missed field goal. He checked to a 7-man protection, hit Keenan Allen. I think it was for 12 yards. So he's been doing this, guys. And I tell you what, man, it is impressive. It is impressive, no matter if you're at home or not, to go against Flores' defense, to go against Harrison Smith, who's making a lot of checks on the field, yeah, to recognize the blitzes. And then, I mean, the throws, right? I mean, guys, the throws he was making. There were guys there to pick it off, right? It wasn't like these guys were wide open. And as we're talking about NFL windows, and he was, I mean, it looked like the guys were too slow to get to his ball, right? And then, obviously, there was a throw to Swift on a scramble drill. I don't know. I think both his legs are off the ground. We just kind of watched some things yesterday that we haven't saw around here a lot. And that's why you leave even after the fifth loss in a row, even after, like I just told you guys, I have analyzed now 96 losses since 2015. Even after all that, you wonder why you leave thinking, man, this guy is improving. This guy is developing. And you can give credit to Thomas Brown. I think he's doing a great job out there calling plays, making Caleb a little more comfortable. But I think a lot of that credit just goes to Caleb for continuing to grow, continue to develop. Kerry Joseph, his quarterback coach, everybody, right? When a quarterback starts to develop, everyone can take a bow. We don't want to give it to Eberflus, but Eberflus is helping him develop too. Everything goes into this young quarterback playing better football.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. And I'm glad you mentioned that fourth down, because it, you know, Eberflus apologized in the post game about the confusion with that, where they were going to go with the kicking team, and then they had to get them off the field. I think Caleb gets back on the field. There's like 25 seconds left. He doesn't get the play clearly in his helmet. I believe he said he ran the wrong play there. So they're at this crucial fourth down, and they've wasted time, and they haven't communicated, and the coach says, well, it's on me. I should have. Well, of course it's on you, and it should have been communicated, and it ends up, you know, with another wasted chance. And I think that there's been a lot of that stuff going on. And by the way, he's now 0-4 on the year in challenges, if that matters to anyone, and I think he's 2-8. In his career on challenges. Why isn't there a system in place when you're 3 years in and you can't make a proper challenge?
Mm-hmm. And we talked about in the pregame show how going through the Vikings coaching staff, they have a game management coach, right? And we talked to Pete, I think his name was. Pete does the Chicago guy make good.
Pete Bursich.
Pete Bursich. And, you know, we talked to him, and he said, of course, right? He said, Coach O'Connell, he has so much to do with play calling. He parses out those duties so they can help him during the game, right? And we start to wonder, well, we have a head coach who does play calling. Why isn't there guys who do that for him, right? And why doesn't he have, like who's upstairs telling him to challenge that Addison play, right? Who's helping him with that? And maybe he hasn't surrounded himself with people who are good at what they do, right? We all need guys around us. When you're in a football building, man, you move up to be a head coach because of what you did, and you are elite at your job. Right, you need to find people who are elite at what they do. Game management, right? We talked about how many people have these jobs there in Hallis Hall who are like, you know, stats people, analyst people. There's have like six or seven guys on staff that just do that. They just do that for a living. And who is telling them to challenge that? I don't know, right? So why does Coach Eberflus struggle there? I don't know. Why do him and the special teams coach seem to be not on the same page? I don't know. I can't answer these things for you guys, man. It's been going on too long. When you're, it's like the field goal team, right? Like they're telling you that your field goal team is weak on the left side. You trot out the same guys, right? You didn't see that yourself. LaFleur said they attacked it. They knew they were going to block it. When you do it again, you do it from the right hash, and it gets blocked again, right? There's some things you get confused by with how many people they have in that building studying their film, going over things they need to do, right? Instead of forcing the room of media people to say good morning to you, get the field goal team fixed.
This segment with Olin Cruz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. All right, so along those lines, the analytics crowd will tell us that when Matt Eberflus decided to go for two, when it was 24-16, that was the right choice because of this and that and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I respect that, even though I just sound like I dismissed that. I respect where they're coming from. But, Olin, you've been in these huddles. You've been on these offenses. From your perspective, and you have now analyzed a lot of games, as you pointed out, what is the right move there, and how do you quantify momentum? And is it indeed lost when you have a touchdown drive and then you don't convert the two-point play, and now you've got to go back to the sideline feeling the loss of that momentum? Does that matter? What do you think about that entire sequence?
Yeah, I go back to everybody in the building, right? When you're watching a team constantly make these mistakes, I go back to the whole team that you built there at Hallis Hall. And without saying names, you know, they have people on staff. They have a guy, director of football analytics, right? They have football administration and analytics coordinator. They also have a football research analyst. They also have a football data engineer, all working up there at Hallis Hall, right? Do we go for it or not on this down? At some point, though, it's got to be what your gut tells you your team needs, right? At some point, you are the head guy. You collect all the information. We make you the head coach. So all these people tell you information, and you pick what's good for your team. And at that moment, like you guys, I'm an old football guy. I thought to myself, take the extra point, right? But I'm sure the math tells you, right? The math tells you to go for two. And then you go for two again. And you know, they have this card now, and they tell you what to do and what not to do and what the percentages are and all these things. But what does my football team do? And if I miss this, right, and you already missed the field goal, if I miss this, what does it do to my football team? So that is the head coach's job. And right now, Coach Eberflus, man, you hate to say poor guy, but right now, no matter what choice he makes, it seems to be the wrong one.
It does.
It's so true.
He's going by his gut, right? That doesn't work. He's going by the numbers. Man, that doesn't work, right? It's almost like I think there was a Seinfeld show where George did everything opposite of what he thought and everything started working for him.
maybe that's
great advice.
Maybe
the coach.
Thursday. Maybe that's the Thanksgiving game plan.
They are 10.5-point dogs going into Detroit. You know, Detroit looks like they're going to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. They're having that good a year. I just wonder what were your preliminary thoughts on that game? And there's really, mercifully, as far as I'm concerned, not a lot of time to kind of go through that loss and hear all the postmortems. They got to move forward starting today.
Yeah, and it's just going to be very interesting to watch this offense on the road for the first time with Thomas Brown, right? That's what I'm interested in. We know that this offense aligned a lot better at home protection-wise, and Coleman Shelton doesn't have to do the silent count. And we all know, I played a few games on Thanksgiving up there, how loud it is up there on Thanksgiving. And now, when I played up there and it was loud, they weren't very good. But now they're very good, right? And in the whole city, and I'm sure the state, is very interesting. The Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell's got them going. They play a tough style of football, right? We all know the story about they hired Spielman hired Campbell. They have a bunch of former players in that building. They have a bunch of guys who played hard-nosed football. And guys, their team plays that style of ball, right? So our defense, whatever they've been struggling with, running the ball. They got a guy up there, everybody might know him, David Montgomery. Comes downhill at you hard. Panay Sewell up front, Frank Ragnow up front. The Taylor Decker at left tackle. Amon-Ra St. I mean, guys. This offense is going to be a huge challenge for the Chicago Bears. And then the young quarterback, again, want to see him do the special on the road, loud crowd noise. Can you go up there and win on the road? And the 10.5 dogs, I got to be honest with you, seems about right to me when you match the two teams up, put them on film, the way they've been playing, and you talk about the way the Chicago Bears have played on the road and the way they have looked on the road with their protection schemes. And you know why that this game is one we've all, when we looked at the schedules, like, oh, man, that's going to be a tough one up there for the Chicago Bears. But, again, like we talked about on the pre- and post-game show, what an opportunity to go out there and prove everybody wrong, because that's what the Bears have left. That's what Coach Eberflus has left. While it seems like he's fighting for his life and fighting for his job, that's what the young quarterback has left as he continues to develop. Is Thomas Brown the guy? Does his offense work on the road? A lot of things to watch come Thursday night.
Olin, so the Detroit Lions are a good example of a franchise that was floundering and kind of couldn't get out of its own way as well. They had nothing, if they had any luck, it was all bad. And so they changed their direction as a franchise when they made some changes that involved hiring Chris Spielman, former player, hiring Dan Campbell as a coach, former player. As we get ready for, yet again, probably another Bears reboot, is that a relevant example? I know I'm talking to an ex-player who has a lot of thoughts and might be sick of analyzing games after 158 of them, but I wonder, when you look at the future of the Bears, would you envision either suggesting they tap into the ex-player pool for direction or even get involved and look to see if there's any opportunities for yourself?
Listen, you know, I think everyone has suggested that, right? And I think me and Mully laughed about it. And it sucks that they lose so much that this always comes up. But we laughed about the article you wrote on me way back in the day when I was in the locker room. And I suggested that they had to change some things, and they were broken from top to bottom. And we've been suggesting this, and so have other former players, and so have other guys who've analyzed. And there's a lot of people who have suggested to the Chicago Bears that maybe they take a look at doing things a little differently, right? And then not only that, but when you hire guys, maybe suggest that they take a look at your history and not repeat it over and over and over and over again. So the Lions are a good example. It is a copycat league. They did go out. Now Chris Spielman, like you guys know, his brother is Rick Spielman.
Right.
Probably leaned on Rick a little bit, right? Rick has a lot of expertise and a lot of, you know, he's been a general manager for a lot of years in the NFL. But David, eventually up there, they do have to take a look at the way they do things and hiring guys outside the organization to hire people to run the team. We could go through it again, everything they've done, the way they've done things, and then they just keep doing them the same way and they keep getting the same results. So, yes, eventually they do have to take a look at it. As you guys know, I'm not going to champion for myself for anything. But it's just if they can look at the Lions and say, man, maybe there's an example of the way we could change the way we do things and maybe try it that way.
Olin, great stuff. Great to see you in the Illinois sweatshirt, too. Congratulations again. Great win for the Illini. Your boys must be delighted. And I'm sure you're planning on being there on Saturday at Wrigley Field.
Enjoy the baseball.
And we'll talk to you Thursday.
We'll be there at Wrigley Field. And Coach Bielema doing a great job. And I'm sure you guys, a lot of people I've seen, I know, is on Peacock. And a lot of guys, people are watching the Indiana-Ohio State game. But Pat Bryant, the receiver at Illinois, guys, has been an absolute nightmare for people to cover. Luke Altmyer makes a great throw to him, and Pat Bryant, no one's been able to cover him this year. Illinois played a lot of good football, won a lot of games. That was a good, really good football game. You guys know Greg Schiano, right? You guys know Coach Bielema. They were playing really good football. They were matching up. They were head-to-head. Illinois comes out on the right side of a tough, hard-fought football game by two very good football teams and good programs run by good coaches.
Great stuff. We'll talk to you Thursday. Olin, we'll be doing the pregame and the postgame with the Bears at Detroit. So looking forward to that.
Thanks, Olin.
Appreciate it, guys.